Good evening, everybody, wherever you are. This is Carrie Brown, and this is the Winfrey Show. I'm the co-host on the show, and Winfrey is connecting up to people on the conference line, and he will be with us momentarily. Tonight, it's from 6 to 7, and that is Pacific Daylight Time, also Mountain Standard Time, and in different time zones across the world. We normally
all callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
That we send out.
Gary?
So there's something called Message a Day, and you could go to messageaday.net and you could find out how to get more information. I never know what the topic's going to be until after the line starts, and when should
Terry,
be with us
Terry,
shortly.
Can you hear me, Terry?
When? Are you there?
Can you hear me? Hello? Hello?
Yeah.
Terry?
Hello,
Terry?
You
can hear me?
Loud and clear. I can hear you well.
Oh, okay. This is Winfrey with Terry and Terry Brown, and we're co-hosts for today, and you'll hear little dings going on when people checking into our conference line, and we thank you all for showing up, and those of you that have been regular check-ins know that this is a pretty unusual call that we do. Because, oh yeah, I should start to record. Okay, all right. That's my producer. Hang on.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
Okay. This is March 28th. 2011, Winfrey, and as I was saying, this is our Monday night conference simulcast, which is a simulcast between a conference call and an internet broadcast. And we've just kept that format because we started as a conference call, and actually, the conference line helps hold the energy for the call. So you can hear the beams of the people checking in. And as I was saying before I started recording, this is a rather unusual call because it explores the nature of interdimensional communication, but not from an intellectual source, but with actual interdimensional sources that are communicating on the call, and that Terry happens to be one of those special people that is able to be a conduit for those messages. And one of the things about our particular sources, just because it's interdimensional, doesn't mean that all people that do channeling are doing the same thing. Just as if you're talking to people who are members of the human race, you'd have as much variation as you could imagine. So in our case, we're not talking to discarnate entities. We're not talking to individual spirit forms. We're talking to, at least how they describe themselves, group souls. And if the way they explain it is true, there are a number of them working together, formulating the words that come through Terry. And there is an unusual aspect to the group souls that we are communicating with. And that is, aside from getting information about how things work at a cosmic level, we're also able, many of us, to feel their energies. They explain that they have the ability to project from where they are love light energy into this realm, and that humans are receivers of that energy. In fact, they're a very important part of the equation. So what happens during the call is there's a lot of information, some of it that I bring through and some of it that happens in our conversations. And there's also this energy that's on the call. Some of you can already feel it. The people that have been on the call regularly have learned to tune their antennas. So as soon as they come into the call, there's a sensation, a feeling. I stop talking for a moment, and you take a look at the vibrations you're feeling. You might notice the energy. So, every Monday...
Entry and exit chimes are off.
Every Monday, we explore a topic. And the topic today is positive and negative. Like, we live on a planet that has positive and negative. And for many, it seems unfair that why are there so many obstacles? Why is there so much suffering? Why do people have hardships? And if there's a God, why, how did such a difficult realm get established, and why? And we're going to be exploring that tonight. Before I do, I'm going to have Hives just greet some of the people on the conference line so they can say hello and say their name and help hold the energy for the call. So I'm going to unmute everybody. Just a moment.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Gina, Jackie, Dee, Andrea, and Jim, and some more people have joined. If you want to do so, please say your name and city.
This is Mac Boogaloo, Des Moines.
Good evening, Mac. Welcome to the call.
Good evening.
This is Jean, South Dakota.
Hello, Jean. How are you doing?
Great.
Zoe, Sacramento.
Good evening, Zoe. Welcome to the call.
Hi, hi.
Suzanne in Columbus, Ohio.
Hello, Suzanne.
Hi, hi.
Cindy in Peoria, Arizona.
Welcome to the call.
Loretta in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Hi, Lisa from San Francisco.
Hello.
Hi, Michael in San Diego.
Michael, welcome to the call, Michael.
And that's Sam when he says something.
Welcome. Sam?
Well, yeah, the cat.
Oh, hi, Sam.
He was just meowing. And I give him the phone, and he shuts up. There we go.
We have to introduce Sam and Nefertiti.
Well, he walks on my keyboard. He wants to send emails to his friends, probably to Nefertiti.
Oh, Nefertiti has a new competition, a new friend.
A new admirer. She's got a new secret admirer.
Aww.
It's the Sam Cat.
All right. Now, just curious, does anyone have any questions on the topic that we've asked for tonight?
Yes. Yes, actually.
What's your question, Michael?
Well, you know, we talk about duality, and we talk about positive and negative, and that we're seeing that things are moving closer together. And sometimes I have a problem with talking about it being either positive or negative, because it's creating a polarity, and I think what's happening as we move towards oneness, those polarities are dissolving.
Mm-hmm.
So I and you know, there's euphemisms, and then there's what you really mean. You know,
mm-hmm.
So it seems that rather than just the polarity of positive and negative, you know, it's what was it called? You know, and in the Kabbalion, there's seven is that everything basically works kind of like a continuum.
Mm-hmm.
So there's light and there's dark. There's light and there's absence of light. Because if you have two rooms with a door between them, and there's light on in one room, if you open the door, that room doesn't become dark. The other room becomes light.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking for, and that's one thing I like to do, is to look at what shows itself in the universe again and again. So I think that when we talk about the dark forces, we kind of make them an enemy. And if we make them an enemy, we feed them.
Mm-hmm. I think that,
and,
that's
one
true.
One of the things I've come to realize is that they are trying to get back to be God, too.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not the right way, or maybe there is the right way. I don't know. But
mm-hmm.
but the way they're doing it doesn't look good to me, that's for sure. And probably not to anyone else on this line. So, you know, what it comes down to is when we're looking at light and dark, I think we have to embrace the darkness, because you have to embrace the darkness in your own self if you want to gain more light. If you want to be more conscious, you have to explore your own dark side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's God. There's God revealed, and then there's God hidden.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's more duality.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm curious as to just how that all fits and works together, and if we can use that understanding to release opposition and let the light in.
Michael, I think that is very insightful. And now I can't tell that story about the dark room and the light room.
Oh,
you upstaged me.
Sure you can.
No, you already said it. Anyone else have a comment on this particular topic?
Yes, yeah, so thank you for that very much. I enjoyed that a lot, too. This is Zoe, and I wonder about just asking them to talk about the function of the dark.
The function of the dark, okay. And anyone else?
I want to ask regarding the nature of duality in the near future.
Uh-huh.
Do you see significant differences, like looking to 2012 or 2017? Will there be significant changes for us?
Terry, are you writing all this down?
I didn't hear the last thing that Heist said. He said nature of duality in the near future, and then he faded out.
In other words, what's the significance of 2012 and what might shift? I think that's what he means. So,
will there be a noticeable difference with duality in mm-hmm. the near future?
Okay. And anyone else have something?
Yes, Wynn. Maybe the sources can comment on, how do I phrase this? You know, certain days are more difficult than others for us, especially those who are tuned in to what's happening and the energies going on. And if they can just give us some insight into how to deal with the tough days or the mm-hmm. challenging days,
mm-hmm.
you know, some of us may feel depressed, or we may feel just lost in sort of a way, you know, like we just put our hands up and we want this all to be over with already kind of feelings. And if that's kind of making sense. So if they can just maybe
like
to that.
Like Judy Garland in that version of Somewhere Over the Rainbow, right? That was one of her bad days for those
exactly.
of you that watched. Right.
And maybe tips on how to deal with those days that are just more stormier than others or more tougher or challenging than others.
Right. Okay.
Besides drinking a lot? No. I'm joking. Okay, I have a sense of humor, too. Okay.
And then also, this is Zoe again, that the way they, those, whether those days function in, even though they're difficult, in a positive way for us, in what way would that be?
You know, I want to make my comment here on that. And the, my key to this is acceptance, that when you're going through one of those days, to say to yourself, okay, this is one of those days, and just keep going and say, I'm open for it to lift as soon as it does, and dwelling on it, getting obsessive with it. That's my experience. And sometimes calling somebody up that, you know, is a light action that would love to hear from you and just chatting with them. Of course, on those days, it's really hard to take the step sometimes to talk to somebody because usually, you know, I speak from my own experience, it's like, oh my God, I hope no one sees me today because you feel shadowed or obscured and you're not going to be able to put out energy. So it's a trick to move through it gently. And usually it shifts gradually. Okay? But thank you all for bringing those things up. And anyone else have something they want to say?
On those kind of days, you just have to keep in mind that it's 10% event and 90% reaction.
Who is that? Who is that sharing?
That's Jim from Tomball, Texas.
10% event and 90% reaction.
Exactly.
I remember I had a teacher years ago that said, "With our lives, there's 10% that we're conscious of and 90% that we're not. That goes on other levels." So that's interesting. Okay, thank you. Anyone else have something they want to say?
This is Dee from Missouri.
Yeah.
My question is, when it's us going through a hard day as ourselves, you know, looking over it or just saying, let's get through it, that's not a real big task. I mean, it can be, but what about when you have somebody around you that is going through a miserable day in their minds,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you tell them you love them, you give them everything you can to lift them up, and they don't lift up. Can you address that, how we could maybe lift them up?
Mm-hmm.
You tickle them.
Tickle
work.
Them.
I'm sorry.
if you can, you know, one of the things, just my comment is, you can't always lift somebody up, okay? Sometimes you can and sometimes you can't because they're a whole other universe. And one of the tricks is not to get caught up in what they're going through and being able to hold the space inside yourself of positivity regardless. Be there for them. You know, because once you get pulled in to feeling sorry for them or feeling like it's your responsibility, I think that's a losing proposition because it would be like can't save someone that's drowning if you jump into the water and they pull you down in. So you have to stay on the shore and keep holding the hand from the shoreline. And not from being drowning with them. But we'll see. We're amassing all these questions, so we'll see what our sources say. Anyone else have something?
May I quickly add something to it? I've had great experience with just having the intention being there near somebody and sending love and light just silently, where a situation like a miracle changes.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's a trick because I've been around people, and I could say this, but I've been around people that, especially when your emotions are involved, that sometimes it seemed like the negative was using the circumstance to keep me disabled. And it's so tricky because I couldn't get out of it. Even though I know all this stuff, I got stuck and disabled. And so not easy just to know what to do. Anyone else have something?
I think we've really all been talking about the same thing in terms of how do you lift your vibrations. It happened. You get stuck. How do you lift? How do you get out of it? Am I muted?
Oh, here, I'm muted. I'm sorry.
I might be muted.
I heard you, Michael.
Oh, okay.
I was muted.
I wish everybody had a mute button. You know, sometimes that would come in pretty darn handy.
Be nice to go out in the world and be able to mute the world.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah.
Go to your errands and say, mute.
Right. Plus an undo button. That would be great.
Right. There we go. Okay, well, I'm going to mute everybody.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
And Terry, you're still there, right?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. All right. Well, one of the amazing things that I have learned over the course of the last years as a result of all our conversations, interdimensional conversations, and it took me quite a bit of time to really incorporate that, and that was that everyone, you know, this idea that everyone is one, it's easy to say, but just imagine that this huge oneness of energy keeps showing up in its separate forms as you and me. And here we are in this lifetime, right now, and all of us have had many other lifetimes which we can't remember. Some of us may have even been part of the creation of this realm and jumped into it, and here we are. And all those aspects of our past are on some level still present, but our memories are blank. Except that when you hear it, there's a cellular resonance. You know, when you read history and you had a lifetime in a certain place, there's something that clicks. Recently, we did some readings for some people, and they happened to go into their past life in Atlantis, or their last past life in Lemuria, and when we do those readings, I'm always a little bit, you know, it's out of my control. I hope the information resonates, but I can't tell. So I thank the people that had the readings when they emailed me because it made a big difference to both me and Terry, because there's a huge responsibility in bringing this stuff forth, and I don't want to make a mistake, and I don't want to do anything that could possibly be harmful, and I don't want to have a negative source come through, which I don't believe has happened, but I know it's possible. So in every situation, I kind of have to be open, and so do you. Every time there's channeling, to never just let your guard down and I think the thing that constantly validates our sources is the loving energy we start to have with each other, because there's nothing, in spite of the fact that we do this, these calls three times a week, and you're getting inundated with messages, from my point of view, there's nothing to follow. I mean, you may choose to give up your power, but there's nothing inherent in what we're doing that requires that. This is an adventure, and it's an unusual adventure because we're all moving forward with this unique contact with other dimensions, or what seems to be, and we're all getting privy to understandings that are fairly rare in this realm. So how did the positive and negative, my quick take on this is that if we can go back now, because if we're talking to the Elohim and they created this realm, I can like make a quick review on how this works from the way they've explained it. And initially, the physical world was created, and of course they're listening, so please correct me if I say anything that you find out of resonance with, or if I've got something wrong. But the physical world was created not with an understanding of what would happen. It was created as an experiment of if you can imagine, a bunch of spirits that are just having a good time, and they can resonate and communicate with each other, and somehow or another they can project holograms and be aware of each other, but there was no persistence. And so the idea was, well, if we could create persistence, wouldn't that be fun? Persistence was the beginning of the physical realm. But there wasn't a great understanding completely of how it would unfold. And as it unfolded, because there was persistence, there was possessions. And because there were possessions, there was hierarchy, because either I own it or you own it. Now, theoretically, you could have a society where there was no ownership. That, and I remember there were times when I've watched hippies go into that and say, well, everything's everyone's, or communes, where people would come in and they'd say, just give us all your possessions and you can live on our farm. And I'm not going to say that's right or wrong, but usually when somebody sets that up in this realm, it gets branded as a cult. And I think the reason is because once you give all your possessions up, you have no options. So if it doesn't work for you, you're stuck. So it's a trick. It's not easy, because in this realm, we all need the physical things to survive and to feel free. Physical things allow us to make decisions, to travel, to go out and have dinner, to go see a concert, to do things which are uplifting. And so, being that that's true, the individual interprets it as, well, if these things make me feel free, then more makes me feel freer. And now, not only am I going to worry about my freedom, but how about my children's freedom and my grandchildren's freedom? And so there's a desire to create huge amounts of money that suddenly is going to create a lot of freedom for people in the future that you're connected to. And when you set up the idea of reincarnation, I'm pretty sure this is true. I haven't asked it specifically, but I'm pretty sure it's true. And that is that the act of creating a family and children and grandchildren creates the opportunity for you to reincarnate in that same family down the road. It's, you're vibrationally connected. So so someone knows on a subconscious cellular level that that's true. They may not know it or think about it consciously, but this is one of the drives to create families and children, because when you create a happy family, you create an opportunity to incarnate in the future. And I remember we did a reading for someone where they talked about tribal love versus unconditional love. And tribal love is just what it sounds like. It's like you're connected to your family. You're tightly wound in with your group. And I mean, it can extend outside your family. It can connect to your tribe, your religion, your church you go to, the particular community you live in. Because the thing about it is, you get something back from those involvements. It's not unconditional. It can be beautiful, it can be loving, but it's not unconditional, because you are tying your energy field into that group. And that means...
Excuse me, when the guys in the sky are knocking on the door.
The guys in the sky?
Yes.
You mean they should, you want them to talk?
Yes.
Well, wait a second. Gary? Gary, are you there?
I'm here. I said the guys in the sky are knocking on the door.
Yeah, well, Hayes is trying to push us the channel, but 6:31. We have about 23 minutes, and I'm just going to take another 2 or 3 minutes, because I want to make sure that those people that are listening understand how the negative got founded. And if you can follow my logic here, this tribal thing meant we have to have more compared to that other tribe that doesn't have it. And it's like, whether it's your tribe has more than theirs, and then we have to go get their land, and we have to grow food, and they don't have it. This has been the history of humankind. And then someone breaks out of it and starts to set an example of unconditional love. And unconditional love means love that goes out that doesn't need anything in return. It may get it, but it doesn't need it. It's not requiring it. It's just free flow. And each of you can look at yourself and say, how much of me is involved in tribal love, and how much of me is involved in unconditional love? Now, it doesn't mean the two are mutually exclusive. You can have a wonderful family and still have unconditional love, because your family is a subset of you. It's not where your consciousness is totally engrossed. So, on that note, I'm going to call in Jerry. Are you ready?
Okay.
Okay. All right. Don't sound too anxious.
There's a lot of questions here.
All right. Well, I did want to announce this experiment, but I'll do it after the channeling, okay? Something that I want to try this Saturday. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. Any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the galaxy, from the center of the universe, through the planets, through the outer energy fields of the earth, through our bodies, and grounded into the earth. And right now, we invoke a group consciousness while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, operating in the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave down. And we await for our sources to identify themselves and deal with our topic in any way they see fit.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is the 28th of March, 2010 on planet Earth. And we bring through the connection with planet Earth, connecting it to the higher vibrations of love, unconditional love. It is what replenishes and nourishes the soul. Sometimes when an individual is in the third dimension, they do not have access to this unconditional love and flows from the earth realm move through their life, and they then can copy these unpleasant experiences, can experience negativity, and the whole earth game is a plan wherein an individual can learn to deal with lack and deal with plenty and deal with the different emotions of individuals and their depression or their cheerfulness or their greediness. And an individual can learn to establish their own center and keep their own connection with the love light and keep bringing the love light through. Bring it in prayer and wishes and hopes and intentions to individuals who are going through difficult times. There are different levels of frustrations wherein one might experience different emotions. And, for instance, losing their grounding. Having the grounding of shelter and food and harmony can buoy one up. And in losing that harmony, they can then flounder and not know what to attach themselves to. So it is a lesson in attaching one to the love light, to the grounding of the love for one's fellow man, to the love from the higher forces, which is willing and able and ready to flood in upon one when they seek it. And sometimes in the losing of one's economic situation or one's shelter or one's food supply, it causes individuals to group together and to realize what working together in harmony with each other means. And bringing the fulfillment. Fulfillment is something that an individual is really working towards, not towards having a lot of money or a lot of possessions. What will bring them connection is fulfillment and connecting with spirit and connecting with others in a spiritual way. There are many emotions one can experience. They can go from being cheerful to being frustrated, to being angry, to giving up more, to being sad, to feeling apathy in that they can't do anything, and they can go into negativity wherein they may wish to simply run off and hide and to not communicate at all. And these are all areas once one can move into. You mentioned light and dark. Light is the presence of an energy, a connection, a spiritual connection. Dark is the movement into separation, into aloneness, into no connection. Dark is not bad, it is simply other side of the coin where one is not connected. Spiritual disconnection does not bring fulfillment. Spiritual connection with others and the higher forces and all that is, which one might call God, is a fulfillment. One thing that has been mentioned is the absence of light, the dark forces. The individuals who have moved into that are trying to get back to be God too. And they are trying to shortcut the connection process and have reversed their response and reaction into a striking out, an anger, a frustration, a retaliation for not having been included, for not having been connected, for having perhaps by the parents or some other individuals been suddenly disconnected and set on adrift into their own world. Disconnection, and the people that have disconnected that person many times have been disconnected previously themselves and are striking back and have chosen the wrong target, as the real target would be whoever has disconnected them. We hope these comments are helpful. Do you have further questions?
Well, I think one of the questions that everyone has is when people are feeling separated, when they're feeling dark, when they're feeling all their angst, how should they deal, especially when they've had moments when they've been connected and not felt that, how can they best deal with that aspect of what they're going through?
One thing is they can observe, because sometimes there has been an incident in their past, either in their past life or when they were a child in this life, which has made them feel disconnected. Perhaps they had a parent who themselves were disconnected, and that parent has heaped disconnection and abuse upon the child. Then the child feels isolated and alone and has not developed the social skills to connect that the individual needs to connect. So that individual can observe him, herself, and can also find areas within themselves where they can feel some sort of connection. They can observe other individuals being warm and friendly toward them, and then observe their reactions, that their reactions are to withdraw in fear that the individual showing them warmthness and affection may be like some character in their past who has then withdrawn it, or it has not been true. But individuals can seek within their experience to let little cracks and openings in, to let the warmth and love in. They can go to the coffee shops and can observe other people being friendly and chatting and let it seep in to some degree. They can find music, something that they can feel connected with. The object is to begin to reconnect and to feel connected. Once one feels connected, then the isolation drops away and their need for love can begin to be filled. They can observe themselves and write down each day what good thing that they accomplish in the day. They can observe when they are feeling connected and can find circumstances, going to a dance, going on a chat room, whatever the person's gradient may be, to begin to connect. The object is connection, to bring the love light in and to move the darkness aside and fill the individual with warmth and love light and know the individual is loved. They can come in on our calls and connect with us and see the connections coming in. If one is experiencing disconnection, do not be disheartened with yourself. It is an opportunity for big growth where you may have the opportunity to observe as if you were in a lab, to observe yourself and see where the roots for the disconnection lie. What were the thoughts that happened before the disconnection? Was it something material that you were counting on that went away? And now you are simply at sea and can't ground to it anymore. For instance, money is a big thing where if there is no money, then it sets someone at sea and they are not sure how to ground. So one may find new ways of grounding with individuals who can give and take love light and bring warmth into their life, even if it is opening a crack and just bringing through a little bit. Because once somebody experiences the love light and the someone loves them, if they can experience it even a little bit, it is a big gain that can lead to bigger advances in the future.
Thank you. You know, I have this idea. I said I was going to announce it, and no one knows it but me. So I'll announce it and see what you guys think of this. And if you don't think it's a good idea, well, can it. But I have an idea to do a rally, a telephone rally, maybe this Saturday or Sunday, which I'll announce, and invite everyone who's been touched by our work on that rally and to have like a little pep kind of thing for 15 or 20 minutes and then take a break and have them invite someone else to call in the line who has never heard of us before. And without trying to explain it, just say, could you get on this line, listen to this guy? Well, we'll do a talk and introduce this work to new people. What do you think of that idea?
We are open to that idea, and it is worth a try.
Okay. I mean, I know that many people that are touched by this work, they try to talk about it, and it sounds like they're crazy to their friends. So maybe we'll try it out this weekend, and we'll see how it works. And 651. One comment I'll make is I know many people feel separated because they think they need their soulmate. They need someone to love. And without someone to love, they feel disconnected. How can a person who has this deal with this in the best way?
One way would be to see when they move through their day how they are connecting with others. Everyone needs others, and if they do not have others, they feel disconnected because that connection with others is something that only the connection with others can fulfill. But there is the connection with one's own self, and one in evaluating and feeling one's own worth, it's something that they need to fulfill from their own self. So they can do things in that arena that can fill within themselves the need for the love of self and the need for the feeling of self-worth. So that they do not get needy and ask others to constantly fill up that gap. However, the connection with others is something that is needed and they can fulfill that. Now, an individual, if they are looking for a soulmate and they have their conviction of self-worth, can then begin keeping with our own goals in their own projects. Finding people with similar goals and projects that they can move into co-working on those goals with others. And then this is a common ground for individuals to build a relationship rather than making the relationship be the whole and the only goal. Because if one makes the relationship the whole and the only goal, then after the connection, the good looking joy of walking down the street with a good looking person, or the joy of going out to eat.
We have to stop. I'm sorry, it's 6:55, and Heiser is going to be mad because I was talking too long. But and I know Seth is sitting there saying he's got another show to put on. So excuse me for stopping that. And thank you so much for that great counsel on this topic. And thank you all for being here. And we'll see some of you on Wednesday. And
we love you all.
Thank you.
Stop conference recording. Your conference recording has stopped.